Praise God. Well, let's talk about faith. Is that all right? Yes. We came back here many, many, many moons ago with the assignment to be a Word and Spirit church, the Holy Spirit. That's why we've always placed Him in His rightful position. He's God, third person of the Trinity, because He likes to show off sometimes. Amen. He is the power of God. Jesus talked about when the Holy Spirit came, and we know what happened in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and how the disciples, 120, were filled with the Holy Spirit. They came down drunk out of the upper room. And Peter said, don't be amazed. These aren't drunk as you suppose. They're very filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we were called back here to teach faith, to teach people how to live. I grew up in a denominational Pentecostal church. And I mean, from a baby. And I never did learn how to walk in faith. They told us all the Bible stories and that we were supposed to have faith, but never the instruction on how to walk in faith. And faith is a way of life. Faith is something you grow into. You grow, amen? Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, that's not much faith, but we develop our faith as we stand on the Word of God and we obey the Word of God. So we're going to do some things. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And somebody said this, faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is the currency of heaven. So it says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible. So you can shout, you can do whatever, go through the actions of religion or whatever you want to do, but if you don't have faith, you're not pleasing God. Whining does not please God. Come on. Amen. Come on. Now we tried to teach that to our congregation. And of course, in our church we grew up in, we had a church full of whiners. And they'd get up on Wednesday night and testify. Oh, just pray for me that I'll make it till the end. The devil is chasing me. And so, praise God, we know better than that around here. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. And so, it's impossible. And it says, if anyone wants to come to Him, must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Praise God. That goes along with the message of this morning. So if you want to be a pleaser of God, amen, you've got to learn about faith. You've got to walk by faith. And in fact, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, it says, the just shall live by their faith. Glory to God. But if anyone draws back, the Bible says, my soul has no pleasure in him. Faith. What is faith? We talk about faith. Let's look at faith. We need a refresher tonight, and that's what we're getting. Amen. Hebrews 11, 1. I'm going to read it out of a couple different translations. If you want to know the definition of faith, this is the definition of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So many times, and I pray for people on Sunday nights, and we believe God for their healing, so on and so forth, but a lot of times we're in hope. And hope is very important. We have the blessed hope. Jesus is coming back for the church. Amen. We are to have hope. Somebody said this, hope is the anchor of the soul. So we hope. But hope is not faith. Hope is always future. Faith is always present tense. Faith is now. Now, when I lay hands on you, you receive the anointing. Amen? When the Bible says you should lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, when that happens to you, when a minister lays hands on you, you should instantly receive that anointing, that impartation, and say, from this moment on, I don't care what I look like, what I feel like, what my thought is going through my mind, I'm healed. The healing anointing is operating in my body. Praise God. Hallelujah. So faith is the confidence. I like the New Living Testament. It says faith is the confidence that what we hope for. See, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Amen. Faith brings that which is futuristic into the now, right now. Hallelujah. Well, hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. Now, most of you have never seen heaven. Most of you have never seen Jesus. But in your heart, you know in your knower that Jesus is real, that God is real, that the Holy Spirit is real, that he died on the cross. None of you were there 2,000 years ago. But you have that assurance on the inside of you. You have that faith. You haven't touched it. You haven't seen it. You haven't felt it. You haven't experienced it. But by faith you are saved. Glory to God. Not of works, by faith, amen, you receive your salvation. You make Jesus the Lord of your life. And faith is the currency of heaven, and it purchases you eternal salvation when you make that decision for Christ. Now, I actually like the Amplified Classic Bible. It says this, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality. And it ends up like this. This is a nutshell. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. We're so used to touching things and seeing things. Well, Pastor, I believe that I'm healed when I feel healed. I believe that I'm blessed when I feel blessed. No, that's not how it works. A lot of people, they do the same thing with finances. They'll say, well, Lord, let me win the lottery and then I'll start giving you some money. That's not faith. The Bible says you give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So faith gives substance to the things we hope for. It's our title deed. You hold that Bible in your hand. You have the promises of God. It is written. That's what Jesus did when he had that battle with the devil. It is written, glory to God. It is written. He doesn't care. We don't care what it looks like, what it feels like. E.W. Kenyon says that most Christians operate in mental assent. And what that means, they mentally agree with the word of God that by your stripes you are healed, but yet they don't take it for themselves. And that's what we've got to do, take it. Not just wish for it, not just hope for it, but take the promises of God personally, amen. You need to meditate on Hebrews chapter 11, 1, because it explains faith is always now. Hope is always a future. Faith is the title deed. It is a confirmation of what the promises says actually belong to you. And that's what puts a shout in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why we can sing in the overflow. Amen. Yeah. You might not be experiencing it, but you're saying it. Amen. You're declaring it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Let's look at... In Mark 11, 20, first of all, let's look at verse 12, Mark 11. Hallelujah. This is the faith scripture. We learned what faith was, and now we're going to see Jesus operating in faith. It says in verse 12, now the next day when they had come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing afar off a fig tree having leaves, he went to see it if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not yet the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it. Now, the disciples were walking with him. And here Jesus is speaking to that fig tree. Judy speaks to our plants all the time. Our tree didn't do too good last year, so she goes out and talks to it. Isn't that kind of weird? Well, Jesus talked to the tree. So you can sing to the tree. You can bless the tree. Come on now. Hallelujah. I would never be caught talking to a tree. Why not? Why not? Norval Hayes, we had him in our church years ago when we were in Brockton. We were in Seventh-day Adventist Church, I think we had. We just, you know, God has brought some generals into our lives and across our paths. But in one of his messages, he talks about faith. He was a great man of faith. In fact, he said how he began to operate and learn faith was that he would spend all night long walking the floors, doing nothing but quoting Mark 11, 23 and 24. Can you imagine that? Just walking back and forth in his house, just learning, speaking. Revelation comes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he had orchards down in Florida. And so during one year, there was a frost that was coming. And that's a detrimental thing in Florida, you know, the grapefruit, the oranges, and so on and so forth. How many of you like Florida orange juice? Amen. Hallelujah. But, you know, he believed what he said would come to pass if he believed what he'd say. So he went down there and he talked to his orchard. Amen? He talked to his orchard. Now there was orchards that belonged to somebody else on the other side of the road. But he didn't speak to those. He spoke to his orchard. And he said, you will not freeze. You are protected. And he spoke the word of God over that. The frost came. All the grapefruit, all the oranges on the other side died. But his was fine. Amen. Well, he could have said, well, I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm a Christian, but whatever God wants. Whatever, you know, whatever will be. Amen. And that's the way we live our life. We just accept whatever comes along, that God must be involved in our life. No, he gave us authority over all the powers of darkness, and nothing shall by any means harm us. Amen. So sometimes we've got to operate our faith. God's given us a faith. Let's go ahead and read that, all right? So he talks to the tree. Amen. Now in verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And the Greek there means have the God kind of faith. Jesus was showing them what the God kind of faith was and how to activate the God kind of faith. If it wasn't possible, he wouldn't have told his disciples that. And of course, it wasn't just to the 12 disciples. It's to all of us. Amen. Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. And he goes on to say, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Wow. That's powerful. So we have the word of God, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, as proof of what belongs to us, and we speak the word, it activates the word in our lives. Hallelujah. And it's so simple, we don't understand it. It's too simple. Jesus, you know, Most of the time you will go around, if you have an ache in your body, what are you saying most of the time? And what are you saying to other people? Oh, I've got a head. Oh, my head. Especially if you want sympathy from a spouse. Honey, I'm not feeling good today. Can I go to bed? Right? And so we agree with our symptoms. We agree with everything else. I remember last year when I had that sciatic problem. A lot of people stay away from church when they're not feeling good or have a problem. But I had to use my faith. God said to speak to your leg. Speak to your back. Speak to those things. Speak. If you can speak to a tree, you can speak to, praise God. Hallelujah. Norval Hayes has another testimony. He was praying in the prayer line, and this man came up that could not walk. His legs were totally crooked. And the Holy Ghost told him to say this to this man. He said, you go home tonight, and all night long, until you go to sleep, you look down at your legs, and you would think it was a miracle service that God would heal them right there. But Norval said, now you go, and you talk to your legs. You call those crooked legs straight. So he went and did that. He said, legs, I call you straight. And he said it over and over. Sometimes you got to say it over and over until it builds up on the inside of you. He came back the next night totally healed by the power of God. And Norval said, what did you do? I went home and called my crooked legs straight. Hallelujah. I call those things which be not as though they are. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Amen. So it says that you speak to the mountain. No matter what you're going through, you've got to say something to your mountain. Don't complain to God about that thing. You take care of it. God's given you authority to take care of it. And then Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So many people want to see it before they believe it. But here Jesus says, whatever you ask for when you pray, believe that you've already seen it, received it, and then you will have it. Hallelujah. That's so, amen. Praise God. It talks about the things you desire. Of course, they have to be according to the Word of God. But there are many promises in the Word of God concerning our finances, concerning our physical condition, concerning our household. You and your household shall be saved. Family members coming in. Hallelujah. And it says, things you desire when you pray. The moment you're praying, you're doing a transaction. You're transacting business. Hallelujah. It says, then you will have them. Now, verse 14 of James, I don't know why I've got 1 John. Was it 1 John? Guys back there? I don't remember right now. Hey, man, I'm bad. I have 1 John 5:14-15. For some reason, it'll sound right. James, right? I must have wrote this note when I was sleeping. I'm going to correct it right now. I said, that's not right. Brother James wrote that. So we're going to cross that out, but James, amen. It says, and this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege, and boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens and hears us. And verse 15 says, this is awesome. And if we know, we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with a settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted to us our present possessions, the request made to him. Hallelujah. So it's saying, if you have, it is written, a promise made to you from him, and you ask according to that promise, hallelujah, is absolutely, say absolutely. You know that he's heard you, and if he's heard you, then you know that you have the petition that you requested of him. Amen. Does healing belong to you? Does prosperity belong to you? Hallelujah. There's so many things. It's written. It is written. I like what John Osteen said. Find where it is written. Find the place where it is written. It is written. Jesus said, it is written, Satan. Hallelujah. So if you ask, this is the confidence, the assurance, that if we ask anything according to his will where it is written, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have the petition that we desired of him. Well, I don't know if God heard me. What are you praying? What are you praying? If you have the word of God, that's a guarantee that he hears you. And if he's heard you, you have the petition that you've requested. Healing, for instance. If you have a physical condition, I don't care what it is. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, he bore our sicknesses. He carried our pains, and by his stripes ye are healed. Amen. 1 Peter 2, 24, by his stripes you are healed. Amen. There are scriptures in the Bible. In the book of James, it says, if you're sick, you can call for the elders of the church, and they'll anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith. There were times when I was a young man, or just a child, in fact, I have the word of God. I don't know, for some reason, this had been a revelation to me. And so I remember that our pastors were great. They didn't, for the knowledge that they had at that time or whatever. But as a young, I would say, sixth grade, early junior high school age, if I was real sick on a, I had that built in me, I'm not going to miss church. So if I was real sick on a Saturday night, poor pastor, I would call dad in and say, could you call Pastor Hall, that was his name. I want him to come and anoint me with oil and pray the prayer of faith. Well, he did that several times when the flu would come on me and stuff on. Even a Saturday night, he's probably getting ready for preach on Sunday, whatever. But him and his wife would come to our house. He'd come into the bedroom and anoint me with oil, pray the prayer, and guess what? I was in church the next day. See, I took hold of that because it was a promise of God, and I wasn't waiting around to see if it was going to work. I believed I received it. Amen? That was just one method. There's many methods of receiving healing. But that was a point of contact. I knew if I could get the pastor there, he'd know it with oil. You know, at that point, I didn't know whether there was power in the oil or power in the pastor or whatever. I just knew if he did that, I'd be healed. Amen. Well, then I grew in another stage of faith where I could just believe that I received. And I would be healed. When I was associate pastor, we had three geodesic domes and we were building out the big sanctuary. And it was big. And we were working on after church on a Wednesday night. And I remember I came down with like 102 temperature on Wednesday afternoon. And I was sick. It was probably a flu of something. I don't know. I didn't go to the doctors back then because I didn't have any money. Okay, I was a young man in my early 20s, so we didn't have a doctor to go to, and so I went home, and it was about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night, church started at 7, and I said in my heart, now, I either believe the word or I don't believe the word. The Bible says that by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, that settles it. It's like, boom. See, you can, that's why the word of God, meditating, I'm not going to talk about that tonight. Pastor Judy's talked about it. Others have talked about it. But it's so important to meditate upon the scripture that you're believing God for. For that particular time, it was healing. By his stripes, I was healed. I'm not going to be healed. I was healed. And if I was healed, then I am healed. And why am I staying home if I am healed? I am healed, so therefore I am healed. Glory to God. My body's not saying that I'm healed. So anyway, I took a step of faith. I got in the shower, got dressed, and by the time I got to church, I was totally healed. Amen? I remember climbing up on scaffolding. How many of you have ever done that before? 40 feet high, and putting up sheetrock and working on the building that night. And I didn't have any problem after that, because I connected my faith with the word of God. Amen? I had where it is written. I believed, therefore I have it. And then I acted upon it. Act upon it. You've got to do something. You've got to move something. Come on now. Hallelujah. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. Correspond, well, you know, bless God, I just can't move that part. Well, move it. Speak to it. Leg, you're going to move. Leg, you're going to move. When I had that sciatic problem, I could have not come to church. I had a wedding, outside wedding I had to do. I could have said, no, honey, I can't do that. I did it anyway, the whole time. Well, were you pain-free? No, but I was healed. I call my leg healed. I call my back healed. Hallelujah. I spoke the word of God. And regardless of what the contradictory circumstances, I had the written word of God concerning that. And by his stripes, I was healed. Amen. The other day, my wife is Lebanese, so we like to get Lebanese food once in a while. So we get it over in Easton. And so she called it in, and I went over and picked it up. And it was a year ago that I went over there, and I had to have them carry it to the car because I had the sciatic issue, all right? And I had to have them carry it to the car. So this lady that's known us for years, I mean 20, 30 years, we've been going there, amen. And she said, do you want me to carry it out to the car? I said, no, I don't need you to carry it out to the car. I am fine. Hallelujah. I'm healed. Glory to God. So important, amen, to act your faith. I got to tell you this story, and then we'll pray for you. I'm over my time. We didn't finish. We'll pick it up another time. But this was during a connect group, and JoJo probably knows, remembers this time. How many of you ever been to the, in Brockton, Georges? George's there in Brockton, right on Belmont Street, okay? We haven't been there for a long time, but they used to have a spaghetti family size, big old thing, right? And we were having a connect group that night, so I was going through a season of sciatica, all right? During that time, this was years ago, and I remember picking up, we had two big pans of spaghetti and meatballs. So I picked them up, walked into the car. It was nighttime. I had to come down the stairs. And for some reason, I dropped some bread or something, and I bent down, and this leg gave out. I went down. The spaghetti went up, and it came down all over me. Seriously, two pans of, you remember that, JoJo? Two pans of spaghetti and meatballs went up and came down. I don't know if anybody saw me or not, but I was covered with spaghetti. I mean, totally. I don't know what they thought when they saw I had to clean that mess up, because I didn't clean it up. I got home, Connect Group was starting in a few minutes, you know, 30 minutes. Pastor Judy, I don't know. I don't know if JoJo had to get something at that time or whatever we had to do to make up for that lost spaghetti, but it was all over me. and it's keeping me alive. Remember that song? It's all over me. I was a totally Italian that night. Praise God. That was a story. Every time I went back there, I remembered that, man. Spaghetti went up and pastor went down. Covered me. Hallelujah. We all have had those experiences. But I made it to Connect Group. A quick shower. Hallelujah. But see, we all have trials and tribulations. None of us are perfectly, you know, we have health issues that come. We have other things that come, financial situations that come. But God is still God. Do you like the miracle songs that we sing? He's still a miracle-working God. And what we've got to do is fill ourselves with the Word of God. So when attacks come, we can look them straight in the face and say, it is written. Hallelujah. It is written. I wish I could say I was a super giant in faith. We're all growing in faith. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a journey. It's a journey of faith. But if you'll get into the Word of God, just those scriptures I gave you tonight, meditate on those. Practice speaking to those problems that you have. Not calling somebody, well, you know, I have this problem, it's a mess, and I'm... No, go to the Bible, find the scripture, and begin to speak it over your life. Calling those things. That's Romans. Praise God. Romans, what, 4? 4:17. 10:7, thank you. Amen. Now, I'm supposed to know that, but Seth's in Bible school, so he better know it. It's been a long time since I was in Bible school. Hallelujah. Praise God. No, that's not 10:17. Faith, you're not, you're going to get docked a grade point. That's faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It's chapter 4, verse 17 of Romans. Calling those things which be not as though they are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, stand with me tonight.